We are Talk Radio. It's the afternoon show. It's Sheldon McLeod here with you, and Katie Hartai is working as our producer this afternoon. Thank you, Katie. We'll be chatting with Moshe Lander in just a few moments. Yesterday, the CFL held an update and trying to perhaps, make a contingency plan for what their league will do come September. As I said, maybe we'll have a revised CFL championship, a Grey Cup, not in Regina as planned, but in the home arena of the team with the best record. I think I heard that. We're going to talk about economy, the economics of sport in just a few moments with Moshe Lander. And again, no update from the Premier, Dr. Strang, this afternoon. They have adjusted their schedule to Tuesdays. What is it? Mondays, whatever days it is. It's all a blur. Not today. Tomorrow, Friday, they'll be giving us an update. Let's talk about, as the province slowly resumes its normal activities, what about business owners and how they can reopen and keep their employees and customers safe? What's that all about? Let's take to the phone lines here this afternoon and invite two guests to the broadcast. First of all, let's say hello to Carrie Jennix. I believe we should have Carrie on the line right now. Hi, Carrie.
Hi, Sheldon.
How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Marked Safe is the agency that you're with.
Correct.
We'll also invite Andrew Wheelock into the conversation. Hi, Andrew.
Hi, Sheldon. How are you?
I'm doing okay. What's Truly Nolan? Tell me about that.
Yeah, Truly Nolan is a pest control company. We're also Skedaddle Humane Wildlife Control. And we service residential and commercial needs for pest and wildlife issues.
Okay. We've spoken in the past. Thanks for doing this.
We have.
This has been a challenging time for many. So let's start with you, Carrie. This idea of being able to help our employees and their customers feel safe. I think it's the biggest part of this, is to feel safe. When did this project launch? When did Mark Safe begin? Are you there, Carrie? Uh-oh. Not sure what's going on. Andrew, let's talk about how you plan to get back to perhaps a sense of normalcy at your work.
Well, Sheldon, we've been working all throughout. Really, the pests have not stopped because of the pandemic. What we've been working through is, one, to make sure our customers feel a sense of safe and trust in our service when we go to service their needs, as well working with staff and just our internal company on making sure our protocols are correct, making sure that we have all the PPE, which is not always easy to get, and making sure that we have a consistent approach to safety as we service pest control needs.
All right. Let's try and get, let's see if we can get Carrie Jennix back in on the conversation with us this afternoon. Are you there, Carrie?
My screen. I am.
There we go.
Hello?
Sorry about that. Yeah, this my system's really acting weird here today. So Carrie, let's go back to what I'd asked you earlier, and you probably answered me, but I couldn't hear you. When did Mark Safe come up? When did that happen?
So Mark Safe actually started through one of our sister companies. They had, during lockdown, employees had to go home and, the business wasn't looking good. And all of a sudden they were retooling to help produce face shields for the front line. And when they went to do that, one of the challenges they faced was helping employees feel safe to come back. So that started the idea and helped us realize how much work it really was and how much we wanted to help other businesses get back to some sense of normal.
And how do you reassure, I guess, I'll back up with that question. What's more important to start with, the customers or the employees, to make them feel safe?
Ooh, that's the age-old question. It's a bit like the chicken and the egg. I think you've got to work on both. You don't have a business if you don't have both. So in our case, we had a customer, and we needed to get the employees comfortable to come back.
Right. And let's go back to Andrew here. You know, many would suspect that that your job, people would be a little bit perhaps wary. Maybe that's not the right word. A little bit cautious because you may be dealing with, you know, not necessarily just pest control chemicals, but, you know, the critters themselves. So what's this look like for you as you try to ease back into getting back to work?
Yeah, that's a good point, Sheldon. You know, we have always dealt with, you know, let's say in our wildlife arm, animals in the attic, the potential for virus in feces or contamination of attics. So we've always had the PPE, always had to use it when we're doing our job. But, you know, now it really starts at the front doorstep and frankly back to the warehouse. So we have to make sure that we are, you know, respecting our colleagues when we're at work, you know, distancing, making sure that our vehicles are sanitized and clean. And obviously, at presentation to the customer, you know, we have to be ready to go in a safe fashion for them and for us.
Mm-hmm. Andrew Wheelock is here with us, and also Carrie Jennings. Carrie is a chartered professional accountant. So this idea, don't bring it, don't spread it. Carrie, have you been out at all since this pandemic? Are you visiting businesses?
Yes, I have been out whenever possible. I'm working from home and doing my part to flatten the curve, but I have absolutely been out for my own essentials and having the pleasure of working with Andrew on this important project.
Are you wearing a mask?
I look at every situation. So I basically am doing a risk assessment. And yes, there's times I wear a personal mask. And there's other times that I wear a mask that would protect in both directions. So it depends on the situation in my case.
I think for many of us, the only experience we have from the last several weeks would be those essential trips out to the grocery store. And for the first several weeks, we would order and then do the pickup. So really, there was no in-store experience. But I'll tell you, you know, it's odd. Some people, I'm really surprised in some ways to see men who are middle-aged men older than me. So that's not even middle-aged, it's old men, who are wearing masks. And it surprises me in some way that those would be the folks I would think would have the toughest time adapting. So maybe to that point, Andrew, your thoughts on, you know, what you're seeing out in the public when you're going out and trying to do your business?
Well, the same as Carrie, you know, we make an assessment when we're on site, and depending on the type of job that we have to carry out, we then decide on what PPE we need. So there's many times where the prevention work we do is outside the home or business so that we essentially have no contact with anyone. We're doing inspections. We're, you know, installing equipment. And therefore, you know, really the proper protection for the service we're providing is needed, gloves and maybe a mask in some case. And then when we enter the homes, then that's when we're taking our level up to a face mask, which is something we didn't always do when we went into a house. So it's certainly been a heightened experience with safety.
Andrew Wheelock, owner of Truly Nolan Pest Control and Skedaddle Humane Wildlife Control. Just before we wrap this up, Carrie, this new program, this Marked Safe, how does this work? How are people signing up for it? And I assume there's some sort of fee or a cost associated with it?
So we have a website, markedsafe.ca. We do have, there's a free two-page guide to help you think about developing an operational plan, and we've done some webinars as well. So that's the first offering. We want to do our part and help the local economy, and then we have a series of, I'll say, products, including one that's more do-it-yourself, cost-effective for the micro small business owner that really needs to get this right, needs a bit of help. And then folks that want to take it to the next level, we can come in and help with the assessment and their operational plan. And then finally, we have a certification plan that we would come back and work with you and regularly keep you up to date.
So is it a sticker on a window? I'm just curious as to people will know that they are in fact marked safe.
Yeah, so we do have a label and a brand, and that's important. People need to know that you're doing this, but I would say it's a lot more behind it than just getting that label up there.
Absolutely. Well, I got to thank you, Andrew and Carrie, for joining us on the show this afternoon to help us through this. Appreciate it.
Thanks so much for having us, and stay safe.
Absolutely. And the same
to you, Sheldon.
Take care, Andrew, and take care, Carrie. Yeah, we are going to take a few seconds for a break here. When we're back, Moshe Lander from Concordia University, from Dalhousie University. We'll talk a little bit about Touchdown Atlantic. I know that made the Halifax Today website when he said the CFL expansion into Halifax is no more. That was his opinion. A few of you have said he's been negative all the way through. But we'll talk a little bit about sports and economies and about leagues outside of the CFL when we're back in just a minute. We're here. Welcome back. Well, the computers are acting a little wonky today. Halifax's CFL game canceled as efforts to bring team to Nova Scotia in doubt. That's a story you can read at halifaxtoday.ca. And there are comments there from Randy Ambrosi. He is the CFL commissioner. And yesterday there was a conference call for season ticket holders. I'm wondering if, in fact, Moshe Lander was on that conference call yesterday. Moshe, how are you?
I'm doing well.
Glad to hear. And we haven't spoken for a while. I did hear you with Matt Brand on the weekend, though.
Yes. And he said that you had texted a couple minutes before, so I wasn't sure if that was to acknowledge that I was coming on or if that was just a timely coincidence.
Well, just a friendly reminder that we had a bet. We had a wager. And I did hear you proclaim that, hell, I'll get the second one. We'll be fine. This decision to cancel the CFL appearance in Halifax at Husky Stadium. They said it was a sellout. I don't know. People have said you're kind of negative too about the sports thing. Are you a sport fan?
I am a sports fan, and I am a Stamps fan. I like the CFL. I don't have any problems with it from a fan standpoint. I have a problem with it from an economic standpoint. And, you're not bringing me on to talk as a sports fan. You're bringing me on to talk as an economist. So I got to give you that opinion, and not why I think the Stamps are the best team in the league.
Well, as someone who grew up watching the Saskatchewan Roughriders at Taylor Field, I'll take your bet. from a fan's perspective, that's one thing. And again, people have to put into perspective why it is that you're getting these invitations to come talk about it. The CFL they came under a bit of fire. They floated this: we may need some financial assistance. We may need some government help to keep the league solvent. Do we have a sense as to how the league is doing? Do we even know?
Well, I mean, three of the teams are providing public information by law. The other six teams don't provide their information publicly, but it would be very weird to think that somehow those teams are behaving fundamentally differently. Saskatchewan puts their information into the public domain, and they're probably the big profit maker of the league. And, generally speaking, they're not making more than $1 to $2 million a year. So you would presume that the other eight franchises are somewhere falling anywhere from mild profitability to likely making losses.
Okay, so if we don't really know, this conference call yesterday was to talk about, well, if everything goes in the right direction and things improve, maybe we'll have a season, but it won't start till September, and the Grey Cup will look different. I guess every professional sporting league is going to have to take a look at what post-pandemic or post-quarantine events look like. The CFL doesn't have, or do they, have a huge TV deal?
No, the CFL makes about 50% of their revenue from the gate and things related to the gate. So, we'd be talking about concessions and whatever parking revenue they generate and things like that. So that's about half of their revenue base right there. Of the remaining half, there's all kinds of other things that would include the TV deal. About half of their expenses are probably going to be related to, say, the on-field salaries, so players, coaches, things like that. So they're pretty much a wash in terms that if you're taking the typical team as being kind of breaking even, then basically everything that they make at the gate is going to the players. Now, of course, if you can't fill up the gate in the usual sort of way, whether that's a half sellout, a full sellout, or whatever it is that a team would be putting forward because of social distancing and spacing needs, then all of a sudden, every time you put a team out on the field, you'd actually be losing even more money than if you just stayed at home.
We know that the NFL has a very rich television deal. In fact, it becomes quite public when, you know, teams are talking about relocating and what revenues could be involved there. Of all of the sporting leagues, Moshe, who's in the best shape to weather this financially and to come out the other side when we know that teams are allowed to come together on a court or a field or a surface of some sort?
The league that's probably best equipped to withstand it is the NFL. So 31 of the 32 owners are what we would say independently wealthy, meaning that they derive their wealth from something other than owning the sports team itself. The only exception is the owner of the Raiders, who is really just rich because his dad created the Raiders and made them such a valuable franchise. So, you know, they have deep pockets. They have other business interests. They can afford to take a miss for a while. And, of course, that season doesn't start until, at best, you know, Labor Day weekend. So they've got a while to ride this one out. The leagues that should be in the middle of the playoffs right now, the NHL, the NBA, they're, of course, with the most to lose because it's the playoffs where they make their money. They don't have to pay the players a salary. They just put a pool of money forward to pay for the playoffs. And then the rest of it is all pretty much gravy. And so they're really missing out on their moneymaker right now. And the fact that they might have to wait 6 months to just reset the regular season and go through a six-month slog to get to another playoff round is going to not push them into financial difficulty, but it's certainly not something that they want to do.
What about you know, the National Hockey League, where obviously there are salary caps and we know that players and owners are, you know, involved with, as many sports are, the players' agreements. What's their financial picture look like, do you think?
Well, you know, the salary cap is usually tied to revenue. And so there's no question that revenue in the 2019-2020 season is going to be lower because part of the season was canceled, wiped out, or even if it does continue, it's going to continue in a much more limited way. So the salary cap should be affected. You know, what's going to have to happen then is, are the players' associations going to accept a lower cap number for next year, or are they going to try and claim that because of the extraordinary circumstances, this really shouldn't count? And of course, the owners are going to push back in the other direction, saying that no, of course it counts, and you need to share some of the pain. We see that coming right now with Major League Baseball trying to figure out if they can even get started. And right now, what's partly holding up the problem beyond just the health issues are the fact that the players are saying, we're not going to eat as much money as you expect us to, because of this health problem. And the owners are saying, you will if you want a season.
What about university sport? And I know that there are Canadian universities that have teams, but I think most people would have put their attention on the United States system, you know, either through March Madness or into the college football scenario. What about universities and the finances of those agencies or leagues?
So we're already seeing that universities are starting to cut the, you know, what I would call the secondary sports, right? So in the U.S. college system, most of the moneymakers are men's basketball and football. The sports coming after that are already under the gun because if you don't have the capacity to make money from March Madness or from a full college football season, that's how you basically finance and subsidize the other dozens of sports that these universities will often provide. And so they realize that they're not going to be able to make that money. And so they're just going to start slashing their athletics budget every which way. And that's going to affect things, you know, water polo, swimming, fencing, and, you know, any other golf, tennis, whatever it is that you could think of that universities would be offering to its athletes. Those are going to get the axe.
Right. Well, I've made a comment or two on the show this afternoon about how players and their stats will have a big asterisk next to them for 2020 because of this pandemic. And in fact, maybe there will be entire leagues that will be challenged by this and may not look the same after we're all done. That's for people who, like you, are much more plugged into that world than I. So thank you for your perspective.
Anytime.
All right, Moshe Lander. Have a great day, and thank you so much. Whoops. I did let him go before I officially said goodbye. Thank you, Moshe. And thanks to you guys for tuning us in. We got a full show in today. Katie Hartzai, it was a birthday gift for you, in a way, maybe. I don't know. Thanks for your help, as always. We've got All News Afternoon next. We'll keep you in the know. Sky and Dan and the team have been working throughout the day. We'll have the latest from this afternoon's scrum. Cabinet met this morning. That's usually when reporters would hang out at the legislature afterward to press government for answers, ministers for their responses, and for perhaps, you know, some more in-depth information about, you know, how we're going to see our way through all of this. Stay tuned for that, and we'll see you again here tomorrow on the show at 12:30. Stay safe, be well, and I forgot, we're tightening up the commercial breaks, so I will say this one more time. Be safe, be well, and we'll do it all again tomorrow. Cheers.